remember when I was investing, my job was not to lose money. My job was to trade, to make profits for the banks I worked for. So I would normally say, okay, what would a domus pater familias, is what you call it in the legal profession. What would an ordinary, proper decision be if the policy that's going to be expecting from the central bank, and we're expecting it to be good for the nation, what would that be? And then I would do the opposite. I would expect them to do the exact opposite. And if when I did that, I made money. If I invested according to expecting them to act in the interest of the nation, then I would be disappointed and I would lose money. So if you want to know how the IMF is operating and used as a tool to loot countries on behalf of the big banks and the multinational corporations, this is a perfect example.
The scientists at LivePet are hard at work solving our cancer epidemic. They have the most promising cancer trials going on now with pet clinics around the country that I have ever seen. You can see the promising cancer research and trials going on some of the past shows that I've done. The links are below. While working with C60 and other ingredients, these talented scientists developed a hair growth serum that really works. They sat on it for years. After all, cancer is their focus. But they now realize how much the profits from this product could really help their cancer research. So the C360 Hair Growth product was launched. C360 Hair Growth is specifically designed to revive your hair growth by targeting hair follicles and restarting your hair growth cycle. C60, the active ingredient in C360 Hair Growth, reactivates hair follicles that have stalled due to hereditary hair loss, physical conditions, or environmental factors that may affect follicle production. You will begin to see visible results using C360 Hair Growth within 3 to 6 weeks. Buy today knowing that your future hair growth will help fund very promising cancer research. See more at the link below.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This episode, I have a banking whistleblower, Mas Palsvig, joining the program. He worked at all the highest levels. He was a trader for governments and bonds and things. And he met with politicians, he met with Janet Yellen, he worked in London and Hong Kong, and he's now from Denmark, or he always has been, but that's where he worked. And he learned a lot while he was there, and he started to realize there was a pattern that when the IMF went into countries, that they would have to do trades that would be to make, in order for him to make money, he'd have to bet on the fact that the IMF was making a decision that was the worst thing for the people of the country. And that's the only way he could make money for trades. And he started seeing this pattern of how things were occurring. And that's how he realized what they were doing in all these banks. And he gave an example of Greece, and he also talks about Gaddafi and how, why they went in and did what they did. And it meets all the patterns that he recognized. And he talks about his meeting with Janet Yellen and what happened there. And then we get into how they're mass funneling money away from countries. For example, the Federal Reserve, how much money since 1913 they are mass funneling away from the United States, and how wealthy and how prosperous we would be if they would not have set this up. And people are just don't get it when they say that the majority of our income taxes is going to pay off the debt. That's where it's going, to the Federal Reserve System, to pay off debt that they interest that they don't deserve in the first place. So that's what people need to realize. And we talk about that. And then he sticks around for my patrons and talk about who he believes is truly behind this through his research and experience, who's really behind this, and then how they go about picking people as their successors and grooming them. Very interesting story to that. So that's for my patrons. And there's a link below. And I was, and I am still getting a portion of Wayne Jett's book, fabulous book, blow your mind on what really happened through the Great Depression. It's not what you learned in school, and it's a must read, but he's giving a section of that, a portion for my patrons to read, just a little excerpt to see what's really in the book. And you can see that as well on my patrons. So now let's get into my show with Mas Palsvig. Mas, thank you so much for joining the program.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
I am really happy that you decided to come and share your story with listeners. You are an ex-banker, whistleblower, who saw a lot firsthand.
and actually had meetings with Janet Yellen and other people and got to see things. What did you do in your past, and what can you talk about what led up to some of the reasons why you decided to be a whistleblower?
Well, it was not something that happened suddenly. It was more a gradual thing in my case. I was working as an investment banker. I was trading government bonds and derivatives on fixed income, futures and options and stuff like that. And it was a great job, and I had a lot of great colleagues. I was very exciting to work with that and just read the news, see the news, and trade the markets. I loved my job. But I also was, my background was from my childhood with my father, who was a children's psychologist, and all his friends. It was always discussions at the dinner table, how to create utopia, not only within people, their clients, but also in the society. So it's always been close to my heart to live up to my father's expectations. So when I saw how IMF and the World Bank and even all the central banks, how they were kind of administering their power, and I thought, I noticed that it was very often the wrong decisions. It was detrimental to the nations they were involved with. They were creating poverty and misery instead of finding solutions for the people. And then I started talking about it. And in the end, I guess it was just too much, I suppose.
You talked about it in a meeting with Janet Yellen, and soon after that, you were fired.
Yeah, it could be a coincidence, but I had made my year's profit already in April. And then I had this meeting, and I thought she was a public employee, not doing her job very well. I didn't know Federal Reserve was privatized in 1913. So in fact, we were actually colleagues, basically. So I didn't know that, right? So I'm not being brave here. It's just I thought I was kind of telling a public sector worker that why all these authorities didn't do their job properly. Why couldn't they help create a monetary system to the benefit of each nation they were operating in? Because I really think they didn't do that. I remember when I was investing, my job was not to lose money. My job was to trade, to make profits for the banks I worked for. So I would normally say, okay, what would a domus pater familias, is what we call it in the legal profession. What would an ordinary proper decision be if the policy that's going to be expecting from the central bank, and we're expecting it to be good for the nation, what would that be? And then I would do the opposite. I would expect them to do the exact opposite. And when I did that, I made money. If I invested according to expecting them to act in the interest of the nation, then I would be disappointed and I would lose money. So you learned how to understand that that they never did what was the right thing for the economy. And that's just, I mean, we used to call our economists for reverse indicators. So,
well, that's interesting. If they were doing what was right for the nation, then you making a decision that was also right for the nation, you would have made money with. But you had to just assume they made poor decisions for that nation. They were going to, and so you had to invest in that accordingly.
Yeah, exactly. If I wanted to make money, I had to presume that they would make the wrong decisions. And I think probably that might be one of the reasons why we always, as a trader, you know, the trading for an investment bank, you can kind of say that it's divided in three groups. Traders who invest the bank's money, salespeople who don't invest, but they talk to clients, and then researchers, economists, and stuff like that. And the economists, we're talking about the best, sorry about that, some of the biggest economists in the world, some of the most brilliant minds you can imagine. And we traders were just joking among each other that whenever they said we should buy, we always sold. And whenever they said we should sell, we always bought the market. And in general, quite frankly, it was the right thing to do. So maybe that might be one of the reasons. So
you almost have to be a really good trader. You start to become really pessimistic, I would think, because you realize that they're either extremely incompetent or they're doing this on purpose.
Exactly, precisely. And then I went to Greece in 2008 with my wife and our three children. And we had such a lovely time, and the Greek people were so friendly and so hospitable and so generous. And I really literally felt bad the way they were treated. One day they are living with a high standard of living in 08, full employment, and I can afford to go to the restaurants. And 1 year later, it's like they're all unemployed. They can't feed their children. We're talking about within 1 year. It's the same nation. It's the same corporations. It's the same companies. This is by design. And this was, they did it to loot Greek economy.
With the world being so crazy, I have two great gift ideas to help you and your family stay safe. First, the Shockwave Torch. This tiny tool drops a 260-pound thug in 2 seconds. It packs so much power in such a small package, it's scary. Thank God it's got a safety on it. If you want to stay safe in a dangerous world, I promise the Shockwave Torch will help. You can also get, as an additional item, this combo pack. It's an ultra-powerful police-grade 18% pepper spray with an ultra-discreet 3-million-volt stun gun. I am getting these for every one of the women in my family. I believe we should all be carrying this for self-defense. And with gun laws becoming stricter than ever, what a great option for women in your family or even men in your family to be safe. With purchase of any other item, you can get this for only $29. So click the links below to find out more information.
Can you explain, break it down, maybe Greece or another example that people aren't familiar with, maybe, that where you saw decisions being made that were detrimental to the country, even though they could have, right? They could have made the good decisions. It would have benefited the country and probably benefited everybody. But they purposely did something that hurt people when they could have done something that was more of a win-win.
I think Greek is a perfect example because what happened in 08? So I'm in Denmark, and in Denmark, we had a bonanza because they cut interest rates to zero in Denmark. So that means that the house prices went up, and everybody, we now have full employment. All the restaurants are full now. All the Danes, I think we have the highest average salary in Copenhagen of any city in the world, I believe. So everybody are very well off now. But in Greece, it was opposite thing that happened. Interest rates went up. And I think it's very important to point out that in Denmark, our debt is very high. That means the banks are owning our properties. And we feel rich, but we are indebted to the banks. We don't own our, we have an 80% mortgage on average. But in Greece, it's the opposite situation. The banks didn't own their houses because the Greek house prices, went up so fast from 1990 to 2008, and it's always been a tradition for each Greek family to have a family home to come home to, without that, where they never take a mortgage. So for the bankers, Greek was just ripe for the taking because they didn't have any mortgages. So how do you create mortgages? How do you move the wealth from the people to the banks? And you do that by creating an artificial economic crisis, and then when everybody are unemployed, and then they will take out a mortgage. And if they don't want to take out a mortgage, then what you do is you tell Greek that you have to, that they have to pay back the 10% interest and all these huge loans. And then when they can't pay that back, then they say to the Greek government, well, then now you have to tax properties. And then they have them by the balls, the Greek people, because they would have to take out a mortgage just to pay the tax of living in their own houses. And this is exactly what happened. So if you go back to 2008, Greek had a debt of about 350 billion euro. Half of that was literally a debt. 175 billion was debt because they had bought military equipment from Germany and France, mainly Germany and France, also England and America, but mainly Germany and France. And it was mainly German and French banks that had lent them the money. So when ECB allegedly went in with the IMF and helped Greece, it was only 2% of these huge loans from IMF that went to the Greek people. 98% went straight from ECB into the coffers of the German and French investment banks that are part of the ECB, obviously. And they then got paid back with huge interest. They made so much money out of the Greek people, and the Greek people were just left with the bill. And then they privatized their islands, all their corporations, their water, their electricity, everything for penny to the on the dollar. Because obviously, when you have a huge crisis in the country, equity prices go down. So it is by design. And so if you want to start know how the IMF is operating and used as a tool to loot countries on behalf of the big banks and the multinational corporations, this is a perfect example.
Well, now, Greece, they also had the narrative that the Greeks weren't paying their taxes, and that's why they are in their problem. How, when you investigated that, how angry does that make you, and how accurate is it?
Well, we also have that in Denmark. I mean, allegedly, we are not racist, but there is, if you listen to the press here in Denmark, it's always, oh, we are so fantastic here, we are not corrupt, but they are, everybody with brown skin, they are very corrupt, but we have the white skin, so we are not corrupt. It's horrible to read. And they are, in Denmark, even on the Danish television channel number one, when the Greek just lost everything and they were all getting unemployed, even on the Danish television channel number one, you had Danish journalists paid by the Danish government making a song, singing, and basically making fun of the Greek people, how they were lazy and how they were. I mean, you can't make it up. This is in 2000 and this was in 2011 or 10 or something. So Danish journalists were singing, making fun of the Greek. And it was their own fault because they didn't pay taxes and they were lazy and so on. It turns out they actually work on average 5 hours more per week than we do. I don't know about whether they cheat in tax, but I'm sure they do that in Denmark as well. It's everybody's trying to minimize their tax. I mean,
so not any more than anybody else.
Not that, as far as I know, yeah. But
yeah, well, see, now I think that's what people don't understand. They identified a place that was not dependent on them. Now, they had a central bank, but it's not the same thing because, you know, other countries, they take them over because they don't have a central bank, so they want to take them over. This was a situation where they may have had a central bank, but people weren't utilizing it because they had these homes in their families for generations. So they had to figure out another way to change it. Now, you worked in the city of London as a banker, and then in Hong Kong as well. Did you often meet other bankers that saw this pattern as well? And did you meet high-level politicians? I mean, what kind of circles and what kinds of things did you see when you were there?
To answer the last question first, yes, I met a lot of politicians and other central bankers. We had dinners and we had unofficial meetings with maybe 10, 20 traders and then three or four in the central bankers, and we had meetings and so on. And when it comes to the traders, yes, if you go out, I mean, we were probably better informed than the average person in the street, because we had access to intel and really, really good information, because our bank wanted us to make money. So they were trying they subscribed to a lot of newsletters with some brilliant analysts, some of the best brains in the world. So we definitely knew more than others. And so long story short, yes. A lot of us traders, we knew that that IMF was used to loot country by country. I was the only one who was maybe talking a lot about it. We also knew that medicine, big pharma made money out of people being sick and not by curing people. So yes, we knew that there was a lot of maybe not so nice things going on in a lot of the big corporations, but
was it just a silently understood thing that's how stuff worked, or did anybody actually talk about it?
We definitely talked about it, some of us, and also about how the military industrial complex, they made money out of wars. But in terms of this larger conspiracy that they are all interconnected through the story, the CFR and the Bilderberg, and I don't think we were not that. We didn't go that deep, but we didn't understand it that way, I think.
Well, but you had to understand it to a certain level and talk about it to actually be good at your job. I mean, at some point, did you start feeling that it was not moral what you were doing?
Well, I didn't feel anything immoral what I did, because I was just the middleman between governments who wanted to borrow money and pension funds who wanted to invest the savings of the various populations. So I was just trying to buy and sell those bonds and make a small, tiny profit, very tiny margin. Maybe we're talking about 0.01% profit, maybe. So I thought that the profit I took was so small that the pensioners wouldn't really feel it. And I thought someone had to ensure that these two parts met. So I never felt that I did anything that wasn't necessary for having a society who is well working. No, I didn't feel it that way. And we even didn't think about our equity department did something bad. I always thought that it was more like the global institutions such as the central banks and the IMF and the World Bank. That was the ones I thought about.
So you always thought it was higher than you, and you guys were just trying to make it work within the system that you're stuck in.
Yeah, you can say that. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, now hindsight being 2020, would you have done it the same way? Or, I mean, are you just people just stuck in a bad system?
I would definitely have done the same thing. And I don't think there's anything wrong with banks. I mean, banks could be privately owned or government owned. There's nothing wrong with banks. You need institutions that facilitate lenders and borrowers. You do need that, or you will always need that to have an efficient economy. So I think that is absolutely fine. But it should not be used as a tool to loot people. It should not be used as a tool artificially to create a bigger and bigger difference between rich and poor. And that's what's happening today.
Well, in the United States, the Federal Reserve was created in 1913. Since that time, we have become more and more in debt. And now the majority, or almost all of it, of our federal income taxes just go directly to pay off the debt for the Federal Reserve. And it goes right to people who never deserved it in the first place, which is a mass looting of the American people on a mass scale. And nobody seems to understand that. I think we just stop. You guys are done. You cut them off and you start investing that money to appropriate things. Now, paying back China or somebody like that who we borrowed money from is completely different than banks who don't deserve the money in the first place. You know, the Federal Reserve, for example, or the Vatican, because it gets funneled to the Vatican. What are your thoughts on things like that? I mean, are they doing that to people, all the countries all over the world, where they're funneling money that they didn't deserve in the first place?
Absolutely correct. The banks are issuing money. This is something people don't understand, and it's very, very important more people, they realize this and wake up to the fact and study what I'm going to say now. Banks are creating money instead of the governments. This is why I made a political party called JFK 21, because John F. Kennedy, he produced money the right way with executive order 11,110. For the last 3 months he lived, he issued real US dollars backed by the US government, as opposed to the US dollars that most of you guys use now, which says Federal Reserve Notes. So it's issued by a privately owned corporation called the Federal Reserve, which is not federal and doesn't have any reserves. So I think it's very important that people understand that in the past you had the king, he made coins. Everybody understands that. The king, he made a killing because he didn't put enough silver in the coins. We all know that. And then the central bank, the first central banks, they issued notes. And everybody understand that these notes were very often not backed by real value, gold and silver necessarily. It was being printed on the back basis of the wealth of the entire nation in that country, the roads, the buildings, the value of people's work. And when the central bank issued a note, everybody can understand it doesn't cost $100 to produce a $100 note. And now the majority of the money in circulation right now is the virtual money, the digital money, the money that is being created electronically in the bank's account. And that is not produced by the king. It's not produced by the national bank like the Federal Reserve. It is produced by privately owned banks. So in the almost the entire world right now, literally, the privately owned banks are issuing the monetary base of each country. And that has a very, very large democratic deficit, if you can say that in English, because it's basically the banks that decide which country will be rich and poor. They decide when you have a growth, when you have a recession, and when you have growth in the economy. Because when they want the country to do well, they increase the monetary base, and then the more money in the country, in the economy, will either produce growth or inflation. And when they want to create a recession, they do like they did in 2008 and in 1929. They remove part of the monetary base. They basically, the banks basically tells all their bank managers to call back a certain percentage of their loans. Literally, that's literally what happened in 08, and it's literally what happened in 1929. Even Ben Bernanke, whom I've met in a private meeting in Paris, he has admitted to this in public. That sorry.
Well. Yeah. Yeah. Well, people got to read Wayne Jett's book on the truth about the Great Depression, and they will be blown away at what you learn on what was really going on. It's really shameful. But if they didn't take all that money, they're making money hand over fist for doing virtually nothing. And then they're using that money, all of our work and our assets, to as the backing of it, and then using it against us or to make for themselves. Now, if they stopped doing that and we actually did it ourselves, we would be flourishing. The whole world would be flourishing. They won't be, but we would be.
Yeah. And that is why they killed Gaddafi, for example, because Gaddafi, in Libya had their own national bank, literally, and they produced money, enough money to have growth in the economy and secure a well-functioning welfare state. And they didn't want that to spread to other nations. So this was the main reason why they invaded Libya, because we can literally make money, just like John F. Kennedy did in 1963 for too few months.
And people don't realize how significant this is. This is the difference from us being a very prosperous, healthy nation with the funds to do pretty much everything that the left is asking for. You know what I mean? We could really pay for everybody's education, whether you think that's the right thing for a country to do or not. But we could do all these things for people or not. Invest in infrastructure, do whatever, invest in space, whatever we wanted. If we just stopped giving all our money to people who don't, and banks who don't deserve it. I mean, they aren't doing anything for us.
Absolutely correct. It should be the Ministry of Finance that is issuing the money, or a real national bank owned by the nation. They should issue the money, and the banksters' plan B is to say, okay, then we'll have a gold standard or silver standard. But then you would have too small a monetary base. You wouldn't have enough growth, and that's what they want. Because if you're very, 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 very wealthy, then you have enough money to do whatever you want. And if you don't have growth, then you can buy up everything very cheap. So money should not be based only on gold and silver. Money should be based on gold and silver and all the holdings of the nation, including equities and bonds and currencies and foreign currency, but also the value of each citizen's ability to work and the product that each citizen produce, and then the roads and the buildings. It should be based on absolutely everything. And this is how they're...
The full collateral of the country.
Full collateral. And that's what the banks are doing now. They are issuing the money that way. The money they're issuing now, they have this fractional reserve banking. So they put, for every $8 they put in their bank, they lend out $100, right? And they do that not with the guarantee of any wealth they have. They do it on behalf of the nation they operate in. So the banks right now are doing what we all should be doing ourselves. And the banks should only be doing what they say they do, which is to be middlemen between lenders and borrowers. That's what they should
do. Yeah, there's a good function for them. But we allowed them in 1913 to steal our wealth en masse. And now that's why we are one of the highest indebted nations in the world. And how their Greece, like you were saying, how they just completely destroyed Greece because they needed to put them in that same, and Gaddafi killed him. Now, do you think there's enough people waking up where we could realistically restructure this banking system and create wealth and prosperity for the world? I mean, could we do this, or are we not smart enough?
I think we're smart enough, and I think we could do it. But obviously, the banks, they have a lot of money, and they do pay off a lot of politicians for sure.
Even compromise.
So it's up to, and some of them are compromised. They have some videos, what I don't know what they do. But if we it's not enough with the people. We also need political leaders, and I hope Trump is one of them. I hope Putin is one of them. I think Putin is. I think Trump is. But we need political leaders
have courage.
Who think about bigger, have courage and think about their long-term reputation instead of short-term gains, and that they will rather go down in history as someone who did some, the right thing for the nation than just be yet another tool for the banksters.
To actually be a leader, to have courage, have integrity, do the right thing, versus be just another tool. That's dime a dozen. You want to just be another dime a dozen creep,
yeah.
You know, or do you really want to be a leader with courage that stands up and does what's right for people?
Yeah, that's right.
But you are trying to be that, right? You are starting your own party in Denmark, and you're really trying to make a difference. Can you explain what you're doing, and do you think it's, I mean, are you getting traction?
Yes, we started a political party. Basically, we just went through, we have about 31 key issues. So we went through the whole thing, what is not right, what is not working. And the big thing, of course, is the economy. And we are getting traction, we're getting more and more members. And I will be on the ballot with the next general election as a private individual, as an independent candidate. But the response from the establishment in Denmark, the deep state we have in Denmark, has been to totally ignore me. I've not been on television once.
I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm sorry. It's so, you probably don't think it's funny, but it's so, it's just
it,
what
it is,
they
it
do.
It is what it is. Yeah. I've been in the radio once in 2.5 years. I've not been in the newspapers except once in 2.5 years. And it's crazy because we have other candidates, new candidates, and they get their own television program, they get their own radio program, even if they're candidates and they're not really supposed to be supported by the national television. And I'm the only candidate that is not in the media at all. And I think it probably...
So they're scared.
Doing the right.
They don't want to give you... Yeah, they don't want to give you any attention.
No.
Oh, that's interesting. Yep. Well, you just have to keep plugging away, and hopefully the awakening will get people to take notice of you in different ways. I mean, that's what we're doing. What do you think it will take to wake more people? Just keep plugging at it? I mean, you said you're not getting any notice from the official powers. Of course they're not going to, because you're trying to take them down. But are you getting traction from others?
Yeah, I mean, we make a lot of videos that people really see and they share among each other. So we are more and more. We are out in the streets with yellow vests almost every day, talking to people, handing out flyers, you know, peaceful, of course.
That's excellent. Well, what do you think about the yellow vest movement now that you're saying that? It's growing, and they're having the same issues where they'll plant violent people. I mean, I've covered this. They plant violent people, and that's all they show in the media. The peaceful demonstrations, they don't show that it's growing, that it's in France, it's in all major cities. It's all over the place, not just Paris. I mean, they focus on the burning car and the mass media has done a great job of making it look like it's completely different than it is. But anybody who's paying attention to alternative sources, not the good CNNs and BBC and whatever, know the truth on this matter. So are you seeing that with the yellow vest? People are like, okay, we need to join this.
I'm supporting the yellow vest movement. I mean, in Denmark, the media is doing exactly what you're saying. They're portraying them as some people who are just, they just want to put on a yellow vest and go out and smash a car. I mean, as if normal people would do that. Of course they don't do that. It's just so stupid, and you're right. I mean, you have so much evidence that it's the police that are very, very violent and not the yellow vests. I'm appalled by this, and it's just another example with all these media lies we have and the way they control us through the media and the educational system. And I think just one comment on the yellow vest, I think is very important, is that why I think that our movement or the party that we have started will get traction is because I can use my skills from being an investment banker. I've done nothing for nearly 30 years. Then look on global macro and how you can finance stuff. So we literally can show how you can finance all the demands from the yellow vest. You can have lower taxes and more welfare, and we show how you can do it.
You can do it all if you got rid of paying, like in this country, which is so crazy, with what they're like the left is demanding or the right or whatever. I hate the left right here. I hate it. But the point is that if we stop paying all these taxes to the Federal Reserve System that we shouldn't be paying a dime to, then we would have so much money that we wouldn't even be fighting over this. We would be figuring out how to flourish.
That's right. That's right. That's one of them. That's one of the main revenue sources. And then, I mean, the United States used to have a small import duty, which funded the entire government spending. If you go back 120 years, if I remember correctly. But also, we have another proposal as well, which literally can remove all corporate tax and all income tax. And that is if you tax transfers of money. This is a huge secret that nobody wants to talk about. There's something called the Tobin tax, which was a tax by a gentleman called Tobin, I believe, and he wanted to tax currency trades and bond trades and equity trades with a really tiny fraction. But we propose is a full percent whenever you transfer money digitally. This is for investments, not just
to buy a candy bar or something. I mean, it's for something serious.
Yes, everything. But if you use cash, so if you're a private citizen and you don't want to support the welfare state in your country, you can just pay cash. Then it's fine. But if you are a huge multinational corporation, you cannot operate without transferring money. And at the moment, the multinational corporation, they do not pay tax. They want these huge free trade deals, which are only benefiting for them, and not for the local businesses in the countries they're operating in. So if you abolish the corporation tax and the income tax, and then you put in a 1% tax on transfers of money, then whenever a multinational corporation is taking out $1 billion out of your country, they will have to pay 10 million. And this adds up very, very fast.
Well, don't you think that, because for like PayPal, for example, they charge us like 3-some%. They should not be getting that much money. They're making a killing. It doesn't cost them that. So they should be getting 0.5% or whatever. You could add that 1% for taxes and you're still paying half what you are now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the 0.5%, they would still be making a killing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's a private corporation. They charge for what they can get away with, obviously, right? But there's nothing stopping.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a free market.
But there's nothing stopping the U.S. government from making a government-run bank. I mean, the Bank of North Dakota could go out all over the United States and offering to transfer money for 0.1%. Why not? It's electronic, for God's sake. It doesn't cost anything.
Exactly. But what happens is there's, as you know, with business, there's a collusion, an understood way to elevate prices across it's not a monopoly, it's an oligarchy where there's six companies and they all make sure the prices are set at a higher level so that they can make really good money.
Of course.
And it's all the same thing, whether you have a monopoly or whether you have a set of companies, they know. I mean, who wants to eat their own dinner? What happens when you get a free market, that's when they compete naturally. And then people are trying to get those prices down, but that's not happening.
No, it's just like the monetary system is rigged to make more and more bigger and bigger difference between rich and poor. Then the capitalist system you're talking about is also rigged to make it a winner takes all kind of capitalism. So you have one winner in each industry that basically has monopoly, or only a few, which is an oligarchy, as you explained. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And we can.
Yeah, and then they charge as much as they can get away with before the people rebel.
That's right.
That's their threshold instead of a free market where, you know, there's something else. Well, okay. So what do you think people can do to help your cause and to make a difference themselves? I always try to, you know, we talked about this beforehand, that we can get on these shows and we can just sit and wallow in all the bad things, but we can really make a difference. And if we do this together, And that's what you're doing, is you're stepping up and trying to make a difference. But how can people help you and get the word out so that more people are joining this? Because until we wake up more people, I mean, we have to all do this together.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it has to be a global thing, because if we in Denmark just do some of these huge changes, then it could be quite easy to obstruct it from the huge powers we're up against. So that's why I'm talking with people in other countries right now. And I encourage everybody to look into our political program and just use it as a shopping list. Take whatever you can use. It's not my property. We're just trying to figure out ways how we can organize. We can have a society that is basically neither left wing or right wing, not blue or red, but basically find solutions that are fair and just and the right way to live. You should have a welfare state. You should have security. Everybody should have a dignified life. But you should also have a capitalist system that rewards people who wants to get up early in the morning and work hard. And you can do both. It's really easy. You don't have to be a Bolshevik to create a just society, which Bolshevism never had done in any way apart from concentration camps and dictatorship. We know that. But you can do it, and it's all there. You can literally do it. Yeah, we can create a society where it's much more just, and people can have a dignified life. We should have a society with much more decentralization. There should be less power to corporations, especially the multinational corporations. There should be power to the people. Every decision should be taken as close to the person as possible. I'm a huge admirer of the American Constitution. I think it's beautiful to have all these alienable rights that you do in your country. We should have that in Denmark as well, I think.
And you guys don't have that, do you? You guys don't have the same freedoms we have.
Not in practice, for sure. No, we don't have. We have a lot of censorship. We have.
Well, we do now too. But go.
Yeah. Well, they're trying. They're trying everywhere to create a global dictatorship. They really are. But I hope it's that death throes. I hope so.
It's unacceptable. If there isn't anything more worthy to fight for, you know, especially on the backs of children, the human trafficking, that's how they're compromising people. I am 100% convinced that that's how they get normally decent people to do things they wouldn't do. And next thing you know, that's all they got. If people they can control. In fact, they look for people they control, and that's who they promote. I know that's what's going on, and it's horrifying. But will you stick around for my Patreons?
Yes, of course, Sarah. I will do that.
Well, where can people get hold of you? Where can people see more of your work?
JFK21.dk and JFK21.com translate to other languages. And we have on Facebook. We'll just look at JFK21, and I'll be there. And you can send messages to me there as well.
Well, thank you so much for joining the program. I really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Sarah. It was a pleasure to be there.